one thing, what would it be for your marriage that would make the single biggest difference? Think about it. For 30 days, you took on a challenge of one thing, maybe a small thing in your relationship that would change sort of the course, maybe even the destiny of what's going on in your marriage. 888-1717 is our storyline. My name is Dr. Randy Carlson. Andrew and Amy are here helping out today. Thank you, lady and gentlemen, for your help. Stephen will be back and Jennifer real soon. Vacation and recovering from a surgery. So anyway, thank you both for helping out here today. We were talking about this last week, and we had so many calls that I wanted to carry on with some of the comments that were coming in about the power of one thing, and the one thing that's made a difference in each of the marriages that have been represented by the calls from all around the country. And so let's get back to them with Kathy, who's going to be first from Kansas. Appreciate your call. Kathy, what's your story?
Well, my husband and I will be married 33 years, and there were several differences in our marriage. There's a 10-year age difference, and he has a military and law enforcement background. And thank you. In fact, any form of gratitude actually was not was completely foreign to him. Mm. And shortly into our marriage, I started feeling very unloved and kind of taken for granted. And the battle over that took its toll. One day I decided that instead of pointing out how ungrateful he was for things, I'd start being grateful to him for anything he did. I thanked him for handing me a cup of coffee in the morning. I thanked him for taking out the trash. I thanked him because he took care of himself. I started letting him know how much I appreciated all the good things he did and all the sacrifices he made. And what we found was gratitude opened the door for both of us to make a lot of changes in several areas of our marriage. And instead of ending up in divorce court, we're getting ready to celebrate our 33rd wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations. You know, my friend Gary Chapman talks about love languages, and obviously your love language is words of appreciation, words. You like to hear them, and he probably has a totally different love language.
Acts of service.
Acts of service. So it's doing. It's why do I have to say it? I'm just doing it, you know.
That was right.
Yeah, and you miss each other, but you chose, instead of seeing that as an obstacle to something to divide you, you chose to take a proactive approach to really express to him your love language back to him, which is, thank you, I appreciate that, I love you for that, I respect you for that, and those words broke through.
They did. I think, honestly, I think our society has forgotten courtesy and gratitude. Yeah. I think it's an underutilized Christian virtue.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Thank you. And by the way, if you're one of the few that has yet to read the book, The Five Love Languages, it's a good book, really practical one for your marriage. I hope you'll check it out. All right, let's move on here. Carla. Carla's next in New Mexico. Hi there, Carla. Appreciate your call.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Doing well. What about you? Tell us your story. What's your one thing for your marriage?
Excuse me. I'm just getting over a cold. For us, I think we've been married for almost 29 years, but at the beginning, we didn't have that foundation where, you know, we didn't realize that we thought we had a good communication, but we didn't. And we learned early in our marriage, probably our first 6 months of marriage, that we did not communicate because we are different personalities. And he didn't have a dad, and he didn't really have a foundation for a mom. And so we would have what we called communication night. And we still do that to this day. But we turn off all the phones, all TVs. Kids are not allowed in the room at the time. It's just him and I. And at the beginning, he would ask me, how am I doing as a husband? You know, and it really helped, even though early in our age, because, you know, when we got married, we were pretty young. And we learned that it's important to just turn everything off, including your children, where they know that this is mom and dad's time. And now I have children that are married. And, you know, they saw that growing up.
Good.
So I hope, and pray that they use it for their own marriages.
Yeah.
But that's one thing for my husband and I, that we learn to communicate with each other.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything off and just have communication night. And now, we would just sit there and, you know, talk to each other.
You know, so you got some moms listening thinking, what, did your children have a switch that you turned that turned them off?
No, it was, we would have to do it when they were little, of course, take their naps. I homeschooled the children. But also just as they got older, you know, they knew that it was
time. Yeah, and you modeled for them, this is the way it works. Let me ask you, you said early on you thought you were communicating, but then you realized you didn't. Was there a crisis point? What was it? When did that aha moment occur, and how did it occur? And then what did you exactly do at that point?
So I think that, like, we thought we were good. We thought we communicated well, but we came from two different families, two different lives, you know, backgrounds where he would say something and I would take it a different way. And I'd say, you're saying this. He's like, no, I didn't say that. I said this. And I'm like, but no, you really said this. And it was that kind of thing where you have to realize when a husband and wife come together, like even my son just got married last week and he's 21 years old, him and his wife, and they're young, right? And it's just that thing where it's also a selfish thing in some areas that we don't realize. And when we communicate and start learning to serve the other person without expecting anything back, I think that also, I think someone else had mentioned that, like about, you know, doing for the other person. We just learned how to communicate and respect each other.
Yeah.
I hope I answered your question right, but it just helped us. We came from two different families, two different lives, and we had to figure things out on our own. And we did not, and this is what I tell my kids too, we didn't want to go back. I didn't want to go back to my mom and dad and say, oh, well, he's a jerk or whatever, you know, how I was feeling, because I knew that I could forgive him, but my parents would see him different because I'm their daughter, you know? So that was one thing. And now my husband and I actually mentor couples where we tell them, like, you know, don't go to your family when you're in a disagreement or whatever. Don't go to your family. Mm. Tell them about, you know, dirty laundry, because it's very important that you figure it out yourself. Of course, you go to God, number one, and then you learn how to communicate. And communication is so huge in a marriage that I don't think people realize how important it is. So that was our thing. Our communication night was Thursday night, and we would turn everything off, and it was just him and I.
Good for you. And listen, you just gave a big piece of wisdom there that I hope you all heard. You take your gripes to your parents about your spouse, that's a big no-no. Because Carla just reminded us that's going to change how they view your spouse, and it's going to impact your relationship. Leave and keep it there. And I've seen it when couples do that, it's destructive. A lot of wisdom there. Thank you, Carla. The other thing, listen, did you hear Carla? We thought we were communicating, but we really weren't communicating. That thing could have gone south pretty easily. In marriage, when you're not communicating very well, there's a point where you got to make a decision. We're either going to go south in this thing, or I'm going to say, hey, this isn't working. Can we figure out how to talk? And they kind of worked it out themselves, it sounds like. Here's some things we got to do. And now they're mentoring other couples. I think that's really powerful. All right. Let me go to Steve next in Michigan. Hi there, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your one thing in your marriage?
Yeah, well, my wife and I, we've been married 36 years now. And, of course, had plenty of ups and downs and everything. But the one thing that it's really been working well for us, even as lately as just doing acts of service for one another. And, you know, it seems to have really shown our love for one another. And it's kind of stretched us a little bit, but it's really been a very positive thing.
Mm. Give some examples. How do the acts of service, for instance, in your marriage really look?
Yeah, like for myself, like even taking up making dinner occasionally for her and taking that burden off of her, and just kind of coming up with a plan even for making dinner. And then, of course, you know, going through the whole thing of not only making it, but serving it to her. And, you know, so things like that. It's just really been good.
Yeah, it's not things you apparently did in the past.
Yeah, wasn't very good at it, and, you know, really because of COVID, I've really upped my game on cooking. So, you know, having all that time at home, so I really learned a lot.
Yeah, sounds like you're applying it too. You're listening today and you're driving down the road and you're thinking about your marriage and you're thinking, boy, I wish my husband was like Steve. Or I wish my wife was like Carla. And what happens is whenever we get our mind outside of our little circle, we can start lobbing little thoughts that way that are not healthy, not good, not productive. But when we stay in our circle, Steve said, my circle is I'm going to give some acts of service. I'm going to start intentionally doing some things in my marriage. Carla says, hey, the communication isn't working, and I'm going to take initiative. Let's sit down and have a communication night. Not going to criticize. Let's sit down and communicate. And if you missed the show from last week, last Wednesday, go and listen to it. Because there was a whole bunch of other really practical things that you can do, the power of one thing, for your marriage. And that's what we're talking about today. We love you guys. We want the best for you. God doesn't sit in heaven and say, how miserable can I help them be in their marriage? He loves you. He wants the best for you. And when we look at Scripture, it's very clear that there's sort of an if-then. If you do this, these are good things can happen in your life. And so when it comes to the marriage relationship, the Scripture is very clear. Submitting to one another, forgiving one another, being patient with one another, sharing goals, loving one another. And the thing is, you may say, that's overwhelming. Start with the thing right now that you know for the next 30 days would make the biggest single difference in your marriage, and then do that one thing. And then you call me at the end of 30 days if it didn't work. Tell me, because I'd like to hear it. Now, when I say didn't work, what I mean is, did it impact your life? Maybe your spouse is still learning, but I'll tell you what, I bet it'll change you. All right? There's a challenge for you for the next 30 days.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. You laid it out beautifully, and I do pray that you'll respond. Come join us in this great mission. What an awesome opportunity we have together to partner to help people experience life the way God intended, to know Him, to give their lives to Him, and then start to understand how Scripture and how to be obedient to Scripture in our daily life is so revolutionary in this crazy time in which we live. Very practical ministry. And I thank you for your support. As Kurt said, go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717.
My intentional choice in my marriage has been to love my husband unconditionally, to really show him that love that Christ showed us. And no matter if I'm frustrated or I'm angry or we've had a fight or we've had a disagreement, that I'm still going to do the little things that matter most to not only him, but to me, making sure that there's, you know, coffee ready in the morning. So I do make my best efforts to make sure that there's dinner ready when he comes home, and being able to do all those little things regardless of the day that I've had or regardless of how I'm feeling about him or towards him, making sure that that unconditional love is very evident in the Bible. It says, you know, the greatest of these is love, and to be able to be joint one with my husband. I think that being able to show that unconditional love is something that not only helps me to remember to stay closer to God and to, you know, be Christ-like, but I think it also shows my husband that, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what he does, no matter what we're going through at that moment, that I'm someone he can count on and that I'm kind of a soft place to land. Not only secures my marriage, but that enriches my marriage in a very positive way.
Thank you, Abigail. Very practical. That's why we're here. Intentional living. Back to the calls. Heidi, you're next in Arizona. What's your one thing?
My husband and I just celebrated 29 years yesterday, and we're doing great. Thank you. But our first year of marriage, we pretty much fought like cats and dogs. And I remember one of our pastors telling us that we needed to set up some fair rules for fighting. And we really haven't fought as much since, I think, because it took a lot of the steam out of it and you could have more rational discussions when you put certain things out off the table. So for us, those things were, you know, I would have nagged and yelled until he finally had to run away. And then I would be angry that he left. And so he was allowed to retreat to another room in the house, but wasn't allowed to leave the house. That was a good one. I wasn't allowed to follow after him and take hinges off the doors, you know. Never actually did that, but that was kind of our funny way of saying it, you know, that he could retreat and come back to it later and I would let him. And then we couldn't get historical, so kind of like Carmen said, you couldn't bring up the past. You had to fight about what you were fighting about now. And you couldn't call each other names or stoop to anything like that. So, you know, they're silly things when you talk about it, but they really do take the steam and the pain out of a lot of conversations. It really leaves you just talking about what it is you're talking about. And that doesn't tend to lend toward fighting.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. We call them a solution-focused relationship. We focus on what the problem is, what the issue is, and then mutually come to some agreement and make a decision, stand together. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work, and that's true in marriage. All right. Thank you, Heidi. All right, Donald, my friend, you're up next. What's your one thing?
Well, one of the things I do constantly is I keep two words in my vocabulary. Yes, dear. I realize that my wife would never ask me to sin. She just want to have it her way. So when she wants to go left, and I know the right direction is to go right, when we go left and she feels wrong, I make sure I don't say, I told you so, because that makes it worse. So I'm learning to give my wife, let her have her way. That's what I did when I caught her. She couldn't do no wrong. So now that I'm married, and we've only been married 5 years, but I'm learning to say, yes, dear, okay. And we try to, I know that we try to outserve each other because we both love the Lord. We try to outgive each other that extra mile. But yes, dear, my two key words.
I love it, Don. I love you. That's the way it ought to be. That's really practical stuff. Yes, dear. Or my case would be, yes, babe, okay? Whatever the little loving term is for you. All right, thank you for that call. Let's go over to New Mexico. Donovan, looks like it looks like you have something important you want to share with us. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to send a huge shout-out to all the ladies fighting for their men. From the perspective of me being a loser and a guy that is not that obedient to God when I was younger, and then from the opposite spectrum of a wife that is fighting for your man like my wife did, you know, I'm so appreciative of her never giving up on me. And there's a lot of times when I made a lot of dumb mistakes and I was stubborn and I felt like I knew what was better for me, because I was lost. There was a lot of things that I was going through that I couldn't see or recognize, and I was too prideful to admit to my faults. But my wife knew what my potential was, and she saw that all the way from the get-go, and she never gave up on me. And I'm so appreciative to that day, because there was moments where I said some, you know, things that I shouldn't have said, and, you know, that I wasn't as kind as I should have been, you know, in certain moments. But yet she loved me, and she helped me through all of that. So if you're going through that as a wife, you know, I just want to say thank you for doing that, because us men need it in this day and age. There's a lot of things that we're dealing with, you know, social media, you know, political issues, you know, people going through a lot of trauma. left and right. You know, there's a lot of dependency that people are going through, alcoholism, drug abuse, just unresolved trauma in general. And, you know, we're trying to navigate all of that. And sometimes, you know, as men, it takes us a lot longer to get through that process. And in some cases, you know, it takes a lifetime. So my journey, my healing wasn't overnight. I'll tell you that. It was years in the making. But just the persistence of my wife never giving up on me, praying for me, you know, believing in the victory that God was going to have over our marriage. And then her, you know, guarding me and pursuing me when I couldn't understand that's what I needed. So if you're going through that, just speaking from my personal experience, you know, that there's men out there that don't realize they need it, but they do need it. And I was one of those.
So how do we do all of this? I believe that it begins by first of all knowing that we have a purpose and deciding what that purpose is with God's help. But it happens through decisions that you make each and every day. You know, it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, "One's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves." Can I change the words a little bit? Maybe instead of philosophy, we talk about one's faith is not best expressed just in our words, but expressed in the daily choices that we make. Even the scripture tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but doers of it as well. You know, this process of living out our faith never ends until we die. And the choices that you and I will make are ultimately our own responsibility. The first law of intentional living is that you and I are 100% responsible for the decisions that we make, the attitudes that we have, and how we live our lives every day.
Finding, seeking, discovering, and living God's will. That's our featured lesson on our Intentional Living Center site today when you go to theintentionallife.com, all because of the prayerful, financial, faithful support of so many people around the country. Come and be a part of the community with us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Thank you.
My one thing is my husband, we were having some marital issues because my husband, unfortunately, is a non-believer at this time. So I was just asking the Lord to help me to be the wife that he needs me to be. Because of my pride and selfishness, I wasn't doing or following God's orders. So I decided to be intentional, and just by just being gentle and patient towards him, which has been very difficult for me.
Difficult for many of us, patience, but listen, a good marriage is really possible, and a great marriage is possible with that little extra effort. There's really a difference. Some of you are existing. I talk about soulmates. That's really kind of a word picture. We want to be that connected at that soul level. Unfortunately, too many in marriages are experiencing like roommate relationship. Hopefully not a prison mate, but a roommate kind of a relationship, which really isn't God's intention. There's more. There's more for your relationship. And that's what we're here to help you experience together. Again, listen, your comments today are always welcome. If you have a story to share, we love hearing it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. All right, back to the phones here. Fred, you're next in Arizona. Welcome.
So I have a shop that I'm working in, and I listen to you a lot while I'm working. And last month when you had the 30 days, I heard quite a few of those. And so I started thinking about what it is that causes issues between my wife and I. And a lot of it is that she wants my time. She wants to spend time with me doing things. And those things don't have to be things I necessarily enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made it the practice of each morning asking her, what thing is there today that you want us to do together? And it could be anything from going to dinner to working in her garden and pulling weeds or cleaning the pool or just whatever. But it's something that she gets to decide what it is we're going to get to do together that day.
Mm. You know, something.
It's just made a tremendous difference in our attitude to one another, and you know, our love is just more evident.
Yeah, and listen, and Fred, I agree with you. I was chuckling because my wife, we do things together, and the thing she likes doing, cleaning the garage, is not like on my high priority list, Andrew. I don't know about you. It's or working around the house or doing the weeds. Hello. We have rocks here in Arizona, so we don't have a lot of those, but we do get those too. But seriously, whatever it is, but finding things you can do together. In fact, when we're off the air here, I'm going to be having lunch with my wife today. And we're going to spend some time talk about life. And like you know, normally do, you talk about the kids and the grandkids. I mean, that's the kind of things you talk about sometimes. And but doing some things that you like doing together, it's a powerful thing. All right. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Esty, I think you're next. What do you guys do?
So what me and my husband, we've been married for 4 years. I know it's not as much as everyone else here, but we are two totally different people. And one thing that has helped us out tremendously is every week we like to sit down, you know, get a coffee, and we like to talk about our week and how we could improve our week as a married couple. If like we did something another person did, like if we did something to upset them, we're like, oh, well, you know, this upset me. And that has helped us a lot in trying to change ourselves, because change doesn't happen overnight. You know, it takes process. But with doing that, we have saved ourselves many, many arguments.
You know, thank you for that. I was thinking as we've been talking about marriage and one thing for marriage today, and then again last week on Wednesday, the question keeps rolling around in my head. How many marriages could have been saved if you all, come on, let's just be honest, had started with one thing? The simplicity of saying, this is one thing I'm going to do for 30 days, or one thing I'm going to stop doing for 30 days. You know what? It's not too late. If you're married, you can start that today. You know, this same principle, the power of one thing, happens to work with your health, right? Amy knows that. Amy here, I mean, she's a runner and going to be wrapping up a 50-state marathon. She's run a marathon in 49 states. We'll have to get you in here one of these days again and tell your story. And one more to go. She's going to wrap it up in Hawaii in a few months, which was a smart idea, right? I'm going to make that a celebration. But seriously, one thing, one day, somewhere along the line, Amy said, this is what I'm going to do, and started small, right? Maybe walking a few blocks and then adding and adding until, hey, I'm running marathons. You know, this happens in your marriage, your finance, every area of your life, when we're obedient to Christ. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you, Andrew and Amy. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living. Have a great day.